T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Hey,
hey, hey, hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, your Bills questions, comments, opinions, always welcome when, well, when we have Sal on or whenever we don't have Sal on. But anyway, 803-0550, Sal's segment on the Western Hotline is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal is with us right now to talk a little Bills football. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Wednesday. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I thought your tweet was really interesting about the Bills playing the Titans Monday night. We know what happened last year when the Bills played the Titans. And Sal tweeted out, if you missed it, the starting defense for the Bills in that game last year. And it made you stop and go, oh, yeah, okay, I forgot it. I mean, to me, like the theme of that game was, are they going to play it? When are they going to play it? What the heck's going on with Tennessee? Should the Bills be getting on a plane going to Nashville? They had a COVID outbreak. 6 of the 11 starters, Sal, from that game, probably not playing or starting on Monday night. 3 of them aren't even here. It was a really different defensive lineup they put on the field that night.
Yeah, you're right. And by the way, that game was exactly 1 year ago today. Do you know that?
Oh, I didn't
1 year ago
that.
Today was when they played that game. They played Tennessee pretty much the same week or right around the same week every year for the last few years. Huh. Trent Murphy was kind of a polarizing player. He was a starting defensive end, but he had been here for a few years. Obviously, we know that's changed now. Greg Rousseau's there. You know, Mario Addison gets a lot of time. Ed Oliver, Harrison Phillips, Jerry Hughes up front, Tremaine Edmonds. But then you get to Terrell Dodson filled in for Matt Milano, who was injured. And then Cam Lewis actually started on the outside, I believe. Well, I think he was listed as a nickel corner, but I think he played a lot of outside that game because they went with 3 safeties. Dean Marlowe was one of them. He started. And Josh Norman. They did not start. The Bills did not start Tre'Davious White or Levi Wallace in this game or Matt Milano. I mean, this was a much different group. And a lot of it was there were some injuries and there were some guys in the COVID list. So, and I haven't gone back and sliced and diced exactly which ones they were.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about a lot of your secondary. 3 secondary players who started in this game. Cam Lewis, Dean Marlowe, Josh Norman. And I guess Cam Lewis is still here. And, you know, he's on the practice squad. So I guess if you count it that way, none of the 3 are on the active roster anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and Star had opted out. So, he would have started in the game last year, obviously.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And, Harrison Phillips, he still plays, obviously. He's not active every week. The bottom line is, it was a much different team, much different defense. I remember that whole week. Was it a Sunday game rescheduled for a Tuesday night? I think that's what it was, because the Bills had to go from Thursday to Monday, and then they played Titans on a Tuesday night. I think the Monday was the Chiefs game. But either way, it was a lot of moving parts.
Right.
It was a moving game. There were moving personnel. The Titans had their own issues and outbreak. And look, I mean, give the Titans credit. They kicked the Bills' butt that night. They really did. I mean, you remember the Derrick Henry stiff arm of Josh Norman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but if you also remember, on the other side of the ball, Andre Roberts basically got run at wide receiver. A ball went off his hands early and was intercepted. It was just a different. It was a really just different game for the Bills. They weren't at their best personnel. They didn't play their best. Again, give the Titans credit. I just think this is a much different situation this time around.
I think it's interesting, too, Sal. We'll delve into Tennessee a little bit more as the week goes on. And we got someone coming on at 9:30, Paul Kuharsky, who's covered the Titans for a long time. And one of the things I want to ask him is who or what are the Titans? I think it's – you wouldn't think that five games in, you'd still look at a team and go, I'm not really sure who they are. And I'm not really sure how to figure out Tennessee, right? Good quarterback. When healthy, good receivers, you know, the guy who's leading the league in rushing again. But they got some problems on their offensive line. They've not protected the quarterback that well. They certainly have probably no better than what? An average defense. It's weird to try and figure out exactly where do they fit in the AFC? They'll probably win the division by default, but that doesn't make them one of the better teams in the conference.
No, and right now they are leading their division. They would have the number four seed in their division at 3-2. They're in a division that's pretty bad right now. We talk about the East being bad. Take a look at the South. It's the Titans at 3-2. Houston and Indy are both at 1-4, and Jacksonville at 0-5. The remainder of the South outside of Tennessee is 2-12. That's their overall record. You know, so this is a team, Tennessee, that has an opportunity in front of them. But, you know, again, I think they're kind of hot and cold. They're a team that reminds me, they're a little bit like the Raiders to me. And I always say this about the Raiders. Now, I think it's a lot of it's John Gruden. Of course, he's not there anymore. But I think when the Raiders are hot, they're running hot, they're pretty good. They're really good, you know, feeling really good, playing well. And then when they're cold and they're bad, any team can beat them. And even last year when you saw when they went to the Jets in that situation. I think Tennessee is a very similar team to me. Like when they get Derrick Henry rolling, you know, they can be tough. They can be good. When they're not playing well, they give up a lot of points. It seems like things don't go right offensively. So yeah, but this is a big game for them. You know, they'd love to be able to, if they beat the Bills, they jump them in the seeding in the AFC. They would go to 4-2. The Bills would go to 4-2. They would have head to head. They're in control of their own division. So this is a really big game for the Tennessee Titans.
So we've got some calls this week about Cole Beasley's snap count. And, you know, the tweet from Jay Skirsey the other night that Beasley was taken off the field on a play and apparently, at least demonstrably, did not look happy about it. He has had a lower snap count the last couple games. Anything to read into that beyond that's the whole game plan specific function of the offensive coordinator, how they utilize personnel?
At this point, I would say no, but I think it's very fair to question and wonder. Right, I mean, like, we'll see where it goes. You know, what's going on there? Is there more to this for any reason? We know that, you know, Cole's been outspoken about the vaccination stuff. I certainly don't want to suggest that anything would play into it as far as that is concerned.
Sure.
But I think because he's been a lightning rod, I think it's fair to at least say what's going on here. You know, but it's not necessarily it's not like Gabe Davis is suddenly getting a lot of snaps. They actually divided up.
Right.
Davis, McKenzie, and Kumerow were all on the field a little bit last week. And that could have very well just been shuffling in all of these guys. Manuel Sanders and Stephon Diggs, you know, got their normal snap count, basically. 45 for Sanders last game, 42 for Diggs. It was a total of, how many they have. I think they only ran they didn't run many more plays than that, so I have to look at the percentage.
57 offensive snaps.
Yeah, so, you know, they were still up there. We know that they've been using the tight end more. Dawson Knox did not come off the field last game, by the way. He was on the field for all but two snaps, 55 of 57 last game. You know, those snaps have to come at the expense of someone, and it's generally the wide receiver. People ask me why Gabe Davis hasn't been getting on the field a lot. I say, well, A, you don't want to take Emmanuel Sanders off the way he's playing, and B, you're using the tight end a lot, so that doesn't leave a lot of snaps. It just seemed like they were rotating in and staying fresh, you know, on those guys, the wide receivers. So at this point, Howard, I would say I wouldn't read anything into it. Cole Beasley's a really, really good football player, and he really helps this offense, and I can't imagine that, you know, it would be anything other than, at this point, some sort of game plan, the way that they were being played. Let's remember, the Bills attacked vertically down the field a lot in that game. That's not Cole Beasley's game, you know?
Right.
I mean, so it very well could have just been, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're not trying to work underneath in this game. We're trying to attack this team down the field. Maybe this week is a little bit different. I think it is something to monitor. At this point, I'm not going to, you know, raise too many red flags about it.
And I think the flip side, Jeremy and I were talking about this earlier, the flip side in terms of snap counts is Reggie Gilliam. And either if you consider him a back, then they ran a whole bunch of two-back sets the other night. If you want to make him a tight end, they ran a lot of extra tight end sets. Gilliam is getting more snaps this year, Sal, than he did last year. And it was a career high 39% on snaps for him the other night. Sweeney was out there, I think just a shade under 20%, but that's a lot of snaps for Reggie Gilliam. His role's increased in this offense the last couple games.
Yeah, it is. It's a good point. It's been going up every week. He had 11 snaps against Washington, 18 against Houston, 22 against Kansas City. It is increasing. I think one thing we've seen from the Bills this year, and this really goes back to week two, wasn't so much week one. I think week one might have caused what we've seen since week two on, which is I think they want to be a little bit bigger on offense. Mm-hmm. I think they want to be a little bit more physical. I think when they ran out against Pittsburgh and went empty so much and spread the field so much, the Steelers did a really good job of kind of bottling that up a little bit. I think the Bills figured we have to have a bit of a counter here. So they've been using the tight end more. Now they're using Reggie Gilliam more. But I also think in this game against Kansas City, you know, you guys saw some of the videos posted yesterday, some of the All-22 that was out there. Mm-hmm. And I said it during the game a lot. The Bills were not backing down in any sense of the word. There was chippy. They were physical. I think the Bills intentionally in this game, Dawson Knox, Reggie Gilliam, they wanted to show the Kansas City Chiefs, we're going to push you around in this game. And they did. And that, to me, goes right to using guys like that and more personnel like that.
Yeah, was it Trey White tossing Travis Kelce aside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, I mean, I'm telling you guys, like it was, it seemed like at any moment down in that field on Sunday night, at any moment, it seemed to me like things were going to blow. Like these two teams, it's pretty cool to have like that kind of a rivalry. You know, they're not in the same division, but I got the feeling like they don't like each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of extracurriculars that didn't go really far, but it was often where there were guys just jawing and pushing and referees stepping in between. You know, I mean, the referees, they put on a show, right? It was like, hey, let's see how many flags we can throw in the first quarter of this game and maybe the first half. They probably could have thrown a few more just for that and the extracurricular stuff, but they didn't. There was a lot of stuff you probably didn't see as much on TV, and I noted it during the broadcast that like it seemed like after almost every series or something like that, there was something going on between the teams.
Sal with us on the Wester Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. We'll get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Shannick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Sean in Newfane, you're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Thanks, guys. I love your show. I just had a quick question. Do you guys think, in your opinion, is there any other superstars on the offense that they really haven't used yet? And are there any other guys that they're going to utilize later in the year? I just want to know your opinion on it.
Well, I would say superstars, no. Right? I mean, I don't know if there's a superstar sitting on the bench. The Bills have a deep roster, though. They really do. Right now, I think the question is a guy like Marquez Stevenson, who's on injured reserve. You know, he's stashed in their back pocket right now. They do not have to activate him. He was hurt in the preseason. He's eligible to return at any point now. It's been his 3 weeks. They could also just not return him this year. He could stay on IR all year, get essentially a redshirt year, but he can't practice. Once he practices, they have 21 days to activate him, or then he's done for the year if they don't. But right now, that's the only guy. And, you know, if something were to happen to Isaiah McKenzie, here's Marquez Stevenson. You don't have a practice squad spot for him right now. You can't do that either. So he can't practice, but he's right there. I don't think there's anybody else that I would say is like not getting snaps that should be getting snaps that you would suddenly put in and make a big difference on this offense.
Sal, I want to ask you about, there's a piece at ESPN.com. The trade deadline is, what is it, end of this month or maybe early November, I think. I should probably check the date.
It's usually right around Halloween, so.
We're coming close, and there's a piece from Jeremy Fowler at ESPN.com about some trade buzz around the league. The Bills are mentioned in a couple of different ways. One, he writes, the Bills are monitoring cornerbacks, one of, I think, four or five teams that are monitoring cornerbacks. Let's start there. We had this discussion with you before the roster was formed at the end of the summer, because historically, McBean have brought in a veteran guy for competition. Josh Norman, two different Gaineses, Kevin Johnson, and they didn't this year. So let's start there. What about the Bills maybe looking for a veteran cornerback before the trade deadline?
You know, I would never rule it out, right, especially because they're in a situation where they feel maybe they need just that extra little boost, a little veteran leadership back there. But look, I mean, the guys they have in their roster, they've been here a while now. Tre'Davious White's in his fifth year. Levi Wallace is in his fourth year. And they're playing pretty well. And of course they have Micah and Jordan back there as well. I think they really like the guys they have on their practice squad. Cam Lewis, having Cam Lewis, and this guy could play for most teams in the league. He could start on a lot of teams. He could start on the Bills. He did, and he played really well. Elijah Griffin, Rashad Wildgoose, I don't know. It would have to really be something that who are you going to knock off the roster, I guess, yeah. Right? Dane Jackson. If they were to bring in a corner, I don't really know where he fits right now. Unless you're talking about some sort of all-pro corner that you're like, hey, we're putting him on the field for Levi Wallace. I don't know where you fit anybody. Even Saran Neal was part of that group last week that played well mm-hmm. and yep. did a really good job against Kansas City. So, sure, I understand the thought of you can never have enough corners, and especially if you have a veteran who can come in and knows the system or can pick up the system pretty quickly, provide some leadership. But I don't think they need leadership, and I don't know who you're taking off the field if you bring in a journeyman veteran, for example.
The other mention was the defensive line, and this was more of that he thinks teams will be calling the Bills because of the depth. Now, he brought up Jerry Hughes, he brought up Mario Addison, he said maybe it's more likely a guy like Obada, his salary is lower. So what about the Bills receiving calls? Do you think they would be moving one of their defensive line pieces?
I think they really like the rotation they have right now. They have a lot of options throughout the week. Guys are competing for spots to be on the active roster. If somebody's injured, you can obviously put someone in. What I really like about what the Bills are doing in their defensive line right now is it seems like it's pretty game plan specific. I remember running back by game plan when yep. I was talking about that early in the season. I would say defensive line by game plan right now. It seems like depending on who the quarterback is, if he's mobile or not, you might get more Rousseau or Epinesa, or you might get, if it's a pocket passer, you might get more Addison or Jerry Hughes. Jerry Hughes still plays a lot, but it seems like they have a lot of options to go with, kind of match up the type of offense they're going to play, even on the defensive line. We talk so much about that with linebackers and with secondary. Even on the defensive line, I think it's true, guys. I think they really wanted that length against Mahomes. Look at Obada and Epinesa and Addison yeah. and Rousseau yeah. playing last week.
Sure.
What were the snap counts? Let me look back. So if you look at Jerry Hughes 54, Rousseau 36, Addison 28, Epinesa 29. Basham 29. It just seemed like to me they were trying to be really long last week against Mahomes and that group. Hey, they're going to spread the field. We're going to get in passing lanes. Maybe you go against this week against Ryan Tannehill and it's a different group because you're gearing up to stop Derrick Henry, not necessarily the same kind of offense. Obviously, I think a much different offense. So, I mean, you do have depth. There's no doubt. But you also just don't want to make a trade to make a trade. People would say, you can get a draft pick for, a Vernon Butler. Sure. I mean, if that's fine. But that's a nice depth piece to have. Harrison Phillips is a nice depth piece to have. And I do think they have a lot of options right now, and you don't want to leave yourself thin because it's working so well.
All right, let me get one more call before we bid adieu to Sal. John in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Sal. I was wondering, have you ever had any interaction with John Gruden? The reason I ask is there's a thing on YouTube where, they mic him up, both on the sideline and in practice. And he's very sarcastic. He's always whining to the refs. He never says anything positive to his own players. And I compare it to John Harbaugh. They have one of him as well. And, it's like half him yelling at guys. But also the other half is saying, great play. You're really hustling out there. And I was wondering, do you know anything about him, or do you know anybody that you've ever spoken to about his, demeanor and the way he handles his players? And how would it, were you as surprised as most people were at his emails?
Sal, have you any interaction with Gruden? I know I never would have.
I mean, I did actually meet John Gruden at at the Outback Bowl. They have a gala, and he was calling it, I think, for ESPN, I think, at the time. And they always have this big gala, and they have broadcasters and coaches and stuff like that. So we were down in Tampa, and I went to that, and I got to meet him and his wife. I mean, that's really the only interaction I've had with him, so I don't really have any thing to say on that. I mean, I don't know. I'm not on the sidelines covering the Raiders, so
I've had none. I don't know anything about the guy other than what I see on television. All right, Mr. C, take the rest of the you can't take the rest of the day off. You have Extra Point Show coming up, right?
I'll be in. Yep, you'll see me in about an hour.
I'll clean up the studio for you.
It'll be just me. Joe's off this week. He's actually in Nashville already.
That is awesome. He's getting a little jump start on the Bills parties down there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he might be the party.
It'll grow as the week goes on. I'm sure he won't be alone by Monday night.
Right.
All right, Sal, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, sir. Sal, of course, be here from 10 to noon with the Extra Point Show, brought to us by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? You can join us, 803-0550. Reminder, we could try and save you some money this football season. How about that? Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. All you need to do is visit our website, WGR550.com. You'll find a contest link, the TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills contest link. Click on that, and then all you need to do is enter for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, one lucky winner will be randomly selected from all the entries to win.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We have another Buffalo Bills player of the week. It is not Josh Allen, though. Lamar Jackson, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Defensive Player of the Week, Gregory Rousseau. The AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Gregory Rousseau, after the Bills win over the Chiefs. Rousseau, of course, had a pick in the second half of that game. The Bills, another Defensive Player of the Week, and two in a row. Last week it was Tremaine Edmonds. That's off memory, Howard. I'm right about that, right? I'm just pulling this up right now. It was Tremaine Edmonds last week.
Yes.
Gregory Rousseau this week. Okay.
Yes.
Thank
Tremaine
you.
Edmonds, yep.
My memory still works a little bit. Hey, Pittsburgh beat Tampa 6-2, Vegas over Seattle in the NHL's opening night. Zemgus Girgensons and Kyle Oposo named the alternate captains of the Sabres. The NHL announces there are 4 players in the league that are unvaccinated. Grand total of 4. Nick Suzuki signs an 8-year extension with Montreal. They play tonight, and they're in town tomorrow night for the Sabres opener. So tomorrow night, Buffalo and Montreal from KeyBank Center. NFLPA is going to request the NFL release the rest of the 650,000 emails that went under review as part of the investigation into workplace misconduct with the Washington football team. Red Sox will play the Houston Astros in the ALCS. Astros move on with a blowout win. In the National League, the Braves are through, and they'll wait for the winner of the Dodgers and Giants in Game 5. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. PaddockChevrolet.com for the best pre-owned inventory.
I got your credit. Mark Kretzky, what'd you say before the game about Lamar Jackson?
I said Lamar needed to be in the MVP conversation.
There we go. And how do we all feel now? Whoa. I feel like he is the MVP, and here's why. MVP is about value. I think Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott are playing at an incredibly high level right now. But in terms of pure value to your football team, it doesn't compare. The Ravens put up 523 yards of offense last night. Lamar Jackson was responsible for 504 of those yards.
That's crazy.
It's just ridiculous what he's doing. You spoke about his progression as a passer. I was incredibly impressed by the play from the pocket, the poise he showed. And I also I've seen something that makes me excited also for the Ravens going forward. Lamar Jackson has been incredible over the middle of the field. Mark Andrews basically lives in the seam, right? We saw that last night. Yeah. Where he has struggled at times in the past is throwing outside the numbers. This year there's been a lot of improvement on that front. And they get Rashad Bateman back, hopefully next week.
That is Mina Kimes on ESPN's NFL football show. Mm-hmm. That's not Good Morning Football. That's
Get Up? No.
Get Up.
Is it?
Might be. Yeah, it sounds right.
It's definitely not Good Morning Football. I think it's Get Up.
Yeah.
It's something in terms of.
Oh, there you are. I'm hearing a voice. And Brayton's not in the control room. Zach is producing. Yeah. I'm like, my God, I'm hearing voices in my headphones. Where it?
Yeah, no.
He's in the announce booth, Jeremy. Yeah, it threw me off.
We can't really hear him.
Oh.
Sorry.
How's this now?
Better.
There we go.
Oh, there
we go.
Yeah.
Better.
I had to bring my levels up. No, I mean, it was from the NFL and ESPN account. NFL, so it could have been any of their shows.
Hmm.
NFL Live, something like that.
Well, on the MVP conversation, you know, it generally goes to, are you the best quarterback on the best team and do you have a monster year, right? Aaron Rodgers wins it last year. Is he the MVP? They give it to the best quarterback. Mahomes wins it with 50 touchdowns. Josh Allen, as good as he played against the Chiefs, if the Bills have the number one defense, he probably shouldn't win the MVP, no matter what he does, right?
Oh, I don't know about no matter what he does.
It depends on what we're going to do with it. Are we going to do the most valuable individual player, or are we going to do the best player on the best team?
Yeah.
Because if he has a monster season and they finish with the one seed and they do it with the easiest schedule and the number one overall defense, then, I don't know, I feel like a quarterback. I mean, it's going to be a quarterback. It's almost always a quarterback.
Yeah, unless. I mean, Derrick Henry is on pace to break the rushing record, the single-season rushing record, but I'm not sure that that would still garner that much in terms of – that's the only other guy I could think of.
But how about that stat about Lamar that Mina had there? 503 out of 524 yards are his?
Everything he did was super impressive, but
– They are not running the ball well, by the way. That's one thing about Baltimore. Their injuries to their running backs that we – obviously, in the preseason with J.K. Dobbins and all that, you wondered about them. They're not running the ball well. They're winning with passing.
Ironically, a week after the big controversial let's run on the last play of the game to keep the streak going was broken. They didn't hit 100 yards rushing the other night. So they did not break the old Pittsburgh Steelers record. They're tied with Pittsburgh for the most consecutive 100-yard rushing games. I'm not taking anything away from Lamar. That was super fantastic what he did the other night. But the whole thing about percentage of yards that he had, I just wanted to check, and I didn't do the actual percentages, but the Bills had 436 yards of offense in Kansas City, 374 go to Josh Allen. I mean, it's kind of net, right? The quarterback obviously will have the passing yards, and if you're a running quarterback and Josh had 59 yards rushing in Kansas City the other night, I think was he their leading rusher in that game, actually? You're going to have a pretty high percentage of your team's total net yards at the end of the night. Again, not taking anything away from Lamar. I mean, sick numbers. 37 out of 43, 440, whatever, four touchdowns from 19 down. Amazing performance. But I can probably find other, you know, what percentage of offense did Baker Mayfield account for? He wouldn't run as much as
Josh.
Not a lot. That's not a – right, he wouldn't run as much as Josh would. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Allen and Jackson are probably the lead candidates in terms of percentage of offense because these guys are going to get a lot of rushing yards. So I just wanted to throw the Josh Allen stat in there too because he accounted for all but like 60 yards of the Bills' offense the other night.
Yeah, well, I get it. Like, we always want – our guys to win the trophies. I remember wanting Ryan Miller to win the Vezina very bad. You know, you want your players to get that recognition. When they get the AFC Player of the Week honors, that's cool. The season-long honors, whether that's MVP or is that really the only award that anybody wins? I think probably is. They don't award like best receiving title. Sure, it's not really an award.
No.
But, you know, we wanted Diggs to finish number one with yards. You're rooting for your guys. The other MVP conversation test is, okay, it's week one. Allen goes out for the season. How many games the Bills win?
Honestly, I could still get him to 10.
Lamar Jackson goes out for the season.
Oh, yeah,
How many games
you're right.
Win?
You're right. I mean, Josh is on a better football team.
Yeah.
There's no debating that.
And I think it comes down to it's tailor-made for the debates because some MVP conversations turn into the most important person and some turn into the best player on the best team that year.
Well, the quarterback is always the most important person. But Josh is on a better football team. There's no you're right there. If it comes down to, right, if Lamar gets hurt, I mean, why is Lamar Jackson going to account for a lot of rushing yards? Because they're dressing Jeremy and me as running backs in Baltimore these days. They are down to their fourth and fifth and sixth string running backs. So Lamar Jackson is hugely important to the Baltimore offense and has to carry that offense because, you know, the three guys, Gus, Edwards, who are all the guys?
Dobbins
gets hurt, Edwards gets hurt, and then another guy gets hurt.
And then, of course, defensively,
Marcus Peters goes down. Lamar Jackson, you're probably right, Jeremy. Because of the situation around him, he is critical to Baltimore's success as opposed to if Trubisky plays, the Bills should still win the division and make the playoffs. Now, how far they go, I don't know. But with Trubisky, you should still be a playoff team here. If Lamar goes out with all their running injuries and a couple guys on defense, they might be cooked. So that's probably your MVP debate right there.
Yeah. Kyler Murray, you know, it's, again, if you make it about best player or make it about most important, Kyler Murray has tons of weapons.
Yeah.
Great weapons. Doesn't have the great defense.
But a good enough defense.
Dak Prescott in this conversation. You know, Dak has an incredible group of weapons.
Yep.
Three awesome receivers, two really good running backs.
And he's got an improved defense, but it's
very much improved defense, yes.
One of the best in the league, far from it. They might have a defensive player of the year in Trayvon Diggs.
Maybe.
And you know what? Chandler Jones in Arizona. Those guys have some good players on defense, but as a group, those defenses aren't as good as the Bills. So I understand your argument. It depends on how you approach the MVP. Are you simply going for the best player, or what did that guy mean to that team? Well, if you go with the team picture, Lamar means more to Baltimore than Josh does for the Bills' success.
Lamar has more offense by himself. And actually, this is probably true, as you pointed out, of Allen, too. I saw Peter Schrager tweet this stat, that if you went total team offense, yards gained, I think Lamar's 15th. When compared to the teams.
Yeah.
He has more yards,
total yards just by himself, right.
By himself than 15 teams. My guess is Allen is pretty close to that. He might have more than like 10, 12.
If you did a stat, Jeremy, let's say you did a stat. Percentage of total yards on offense that you attribute to a player, right? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and maybe Kyler Murray. I forgot about Kyler Murray. Would probably be in the top three. I'm trying to think who else. But right, those your mobile quarterbacks whose legs are such a good weapon. Those three guys are, I think, at the top of the list, would all have extremely high percentages of total yards, of course. Not a guy, I mean, go. I don't know why Ben Roethlisberger popped into my head, but go find a quarterback who doesn't run as much. And of course, like Ryan Tannehill. Not sure Ryan Tannehill is going to be too high on the list because Derrick Henry accounts for so much of the total offense in Tennessee.
Allen has 13, I'm doing the math here, about 1558 in total offense this year. Which puts him ahead of, all right, let's do this. Instant trivia.
Go ahead.
Let's have some fun.
Oh, cool. All right.
Five teams. Josh Allen has put up more yards himself than five NFL teams.
Josh Allen has more. I'm trying to give Brayton a high sign to join us here. Josh Allen has more total yards than five other NFL teams. Okay.
Jags.
Instant trivia. The five teams that have less yards than Josh. Jacksonville.
Okay. Jacksonville. Yeah, definitely.
Not correct.
Okay. Let's see. Bad quarterbacks.
The Jets have to be the worst offense in the league.
The Jets. That is correct. The Jets have about 1,300 yards of offense.
I will say the Texans is a team that we just faced.
The Texans is also correct.
Solid. Solid job there, dude.
Okay.
How about Miami?
Yeah, Miami.
No, not correct.
Really?
Okay.
Okay, so let's see. How about Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago, definitely.
Last in the NFL with 1,200 yards.
They're last. Okay. Well, that's and they have a winning record, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Who else are we forgetting?
Bad NFL teams.
Can I consult with Brayton?
I'm sorry. You said the Dolphins, and that was correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Can I consult with Brayton
so
on this?
There's only one team left that you need to get, that Josh Allen has more yards himself than.
Not Pittsburgh, right? They can't be that bad, yeah, right?
Give it a guess. Give it a whirl.
We're going to go with Pittsburgh, please.
They have about 40 yards more than
that. Oh, nuts!
They're sixth worst.
That's close.
Wow, that's really bad if you're a Steelers fan.
All right. Okay.
That's embarrassingly bad.
Denver?
The answer is New Orleans.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay.
Yep. The Bills, meanwhile, really? Like, total offense, yards of offense, the Ravens are number one right now in yards. Hmm. Ravens, Cowboys, Bucks, Chiefs, Browns is your top five.
Well, that might answer your MVP debate there as well, in light of all the injuries Baltimore's had. The fact that they're still up there in offense at the top, by the way.
Yeah, he's ahead of half the teams in the league.
Not bad.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. It is Wednesday, so tweet us today. Take a moment out of your busy schedule because you might win a gift card to Jim's Steakout, a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. All you need to do is tweet at WGR550. When you tweet us, use the hashtag HoagieHumpDay. One lucky listener will get that $25 gift card. Again, tweet at WGR550 and use the hashtag HoagieHumpDay. Jim's Steakout, get your hoagie on. Visit jimsteakout.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Team talk, you know, sometimes as a fan you're like, when's the owner going to say something? And then sometimes the owner says something and you think, I really wish they hadn't said anything. The Colts.
Oh, I didn't see. What did Ursay say? I didn't see what you're talking about.
The Colts are 1-4.
Yeah.
They don't have their first or second round picks next year.
Is that right? Uh-huh. Is that part of the Carson Wentz?
Trip?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So Jim Ursay took to Twitter.
Oh, my. I think you could stop right there. I'm going to guess this is not going to work out really well
when you go
with Jim Irsay took to Twitter.
Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready, but I got to be honest with you. Okay, I'm not sure if I'm going to laugh or cringe. Go ahead.
Colts Nation, don't you worry. We're going to get the horseshoe at least two Lombardis this decade. As sure as the sun rises and the seasons change, it's coming. Don't you ever doubt that. He's got some football emojis and some flexing bicep emojis.
Two. At least two.
And then it says, you will see greatness. Believe and you will see.
At least two. Not one.
Two.
At least he didn't do like a Miami Heat thing, you know? Not one. Not two.
He called Peyton Manning's time with his franchise a disappointment because they only won one Super Bowl.
He didn't say that, right? You're just deducing that if you don't win two, it's disappointing. He didn't actually say, or did he say that at one point? Okay, that would be dumb. Two, huh? Is Andrew Luck unretiring? Maybe that's it. Andrew Luck is coming back. He just hasn't made it official. Two? With who? With what? Okay. It's Jim Irsay. I think you take everything with a little bit of a grain of salt when Jim Irsay goes to social media. That can be some pretty outrageous stuff, quite honestly. When we get back this hour, in the next hour, We'll talk a little bit about the Titans, the opponent for Monday night. 3-2, but some issues going on. Well, they've had a ton of injury problems, and they're still working out some kinks on the defensive side of the ball. We'll delve into what their season has been like at 9:30. Paul Kuharsky's going to join us. He covers the Titans and the NFL for Outkick.com. You can join us too, 803-0550, 888-550-2550, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.